Well, you know my favorite saying. And if the Lord will help me go by way of the undertaker, you just put on that stone, aren't you glad to see? Now we continue our study, Disqualified. And we turn first to our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 26 and 27. I therefore run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beats the air. I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. It's interesting that we're talking on this subject because in the federal government recently, so many men have been disqualified. I think it's one of the representatives, I believe he's from Wisconsin, I'm not sure. He's disqualified. Terrible thing to be disqualified. And we have been looking at men of God. Moses, great man of God. He was disqualified. One thing, he spoke to the people, and he struck the rock twice. And we have been considering the life of Samson. Now, we haven't taken his life, as you might expect, step by step. We've been drawing lessons from him. Number one, the Lord appointed him to be a Nazarite, separated. And he marred his separation. We didn't say how he did it, but you know the story. And then we've been looking at his name. His name means sunlight. Brilliance. Now, as you trace the life of Samson, can you think of anything brilliant about his? Now, we took from that the lesson that we are given names. Are we living up to our names? We are brethren. Harmony. We are believers. What do we believe and do we practice what we believe? And today I want to take up another name. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. That must have been grand. To have Paul with you a whole year? That must have been thrilling. Now note the last expression. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Please note that they did not call themselves Christians. The people looked at them and said, they're Christians. I wonder what our neighbors say about me. I wonder what my neighbor thinks about me. I wonder what the people whom we work with think about us. Do they call us Christians? But we're not going to go into the Christian part today. We want to consider disciples. The disciples were called Christians. Therefore, Christians are disciples. And that's what we want to consider today. The believer as a disciple. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is a pupil, a student, a learner. And every believer should be and is a pupil, a student, and a learner. Matthew chapter 10, please. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 24. The disciple is not above his master. The disciple is a learner from his master. The disciple learns from his master. He is a pupil. He is a student. And he follows the master in order that he might learn. Again, turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. I might say to you, we'll be turning to a lot of scriptures. And as I often say, if you listen carefully, as you turn those pages, you hear music. Have you ever heard it?
Sure.
As those pages turn, you hear a beautiful sound. Mark chapter 3. Verses 14 through 19. He appointed 12. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ appointed 12. That they should be with him. And that he might send them forth to preach. To have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Simon, he surnamed Peter. James, the brother of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. He surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew and Philip. Note that Philip was one of them. And Bartholomew. And Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Note, please, that Philip was one of the appointees. Now turn with me to the Gospel of John. Chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verses 8 and 9. John chapter 14. Now, you remember that Philip was one of those appointed with the others. So that he was with the Lord from the very beginning. Now, let's read. Philip saith unto him, verse 8, Lord, show us the Father. It suffices us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and you don't know me? He was a poor learner. With the Lord Jesus Christ from the very start, and he didn't know who the Lord Jesus Christ really was. A poor learner. Now, we won't turn to it now. When you go home, turn to Acts chapter 8. And you'll find there that Philip learned real fast after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was a poor learner. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither are you able to bear it now. Poor learners. Fed them with milk, but not with solid food. Slow learners. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12. For at the time that you ought to be teachers, you need to have one to teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. Everyone that uses milk is unlearned in the word of righteousness and is a babe. Solid food belongs to them that are mature. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the basic principles of the doctrine of Christ, go on to maturity. Again, a group of saints that weren't maturing. Poor learners. Students, but not learning. Reminds me of when I was in high school. We had as an English teacher, Dr. Kelleher. The first report card, not because I was smart, but three of us passed. The passing mark was 65, and the three of us got 66. We weren't so smart after all, were we? But the rest, we all got below 65. That was the first report card. Second report card, Dr. Kelleher gave me 64. Oh, I went up to him. Doctor, I don't understand this. My first report card, I got 66. And the second one, you gave me 64. He said to me, what makes you think you deserve more than 64? I said to him, why, I did so-and-so on the first report card, and I did the same on the second. He said, that's your problem. In this class, you don't stay the same. You either go forward or you go backward. That was the trouble with those that we've been reading about. They were not going forward, therefore they were going backward. And that's true of us. If we're not learning, if we don't know more today than we did last Sunday, we're going backwards. Poor learners. Book of Ezra, please. Chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Verse 6. How to be a good student. How to learn. How to go forward. Well, that reminds me of a little, well, it wasn't a poem. Well, you know what to call it. But anyhow, it's this. Good, better, best. Never stop to rest till your good is better and your better best. That's progress. That's how you learn. But if we stay at one point, we're going back. Now, the book of Ezra, please. Chapter 7, verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe. I know your Bibles don't read that way, but that's what the word means. He was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. Verse 10. Ezra disciplined his heart to study the law. He was skilled. How was he skilled? He determined to study the law. He determined to study. to do it, and to teach it. You know, that's what we read about the Lord Jesus Christ. He did, and then he taught. And if we are to progress as students, we've got to do as Ezra did. Study, and study, and study. Then we will be in a position to give out. Acts chapter 17. I warned you that we were returning to many scriptures. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away unto Berea. Verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word readily of mine and searched the scriptures daily. That's how you learn. That's how you progress as a disciple. Search the scriptures daily. I remember the second day I was in medical school. There was a senior whom I knew at college level. And I said to him, calling him by name, as Soden, what's the key to learning this medicine business? What would you suggest? He said to me, Garns, dig. That's how you learn medicine. And that's how you learn a lot of other things. And that's what these people at the rear did. They searched the scriptures daily. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. They searched the scriptures daily. They worked. Verse 29. But if from thence thou seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. If we're going to learn the word of God, we've got to work at it. We've got to dig. We've got to search. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Verse 13. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Remember, soon after I retired from the practice of medicine, I met a sister. She's now with the Lord. And she said to me, what are you doing now that you have retired? I said, Bible study. She looked at me and said, is that all? One thing was evident, she wasn't studying the Bible. Bible study is work. I might even say Bible study is hard work. And if as disciples we're going to make progress, we've got to work with this book. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 17. I love them that love me. Those that seek me earnestly, diligently, shall find me. And if we're going to progress as disciples and as students and as pupils, we've got to diligently study the word. We've got to apply ourselves to the word. Chapter 21, please. Verse 5. the plans of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Diligence in applying ourselves to the Word of God. Now, when you study the Word of God, you mustn't study helter-skelter, hop and miss, or you'll miss. For example, there was a brother, and he studied this way. He opened the Bible, closed his eyes, and put his finger down. And his finger came on Matthew chapter 27, verse 65. Judas went and hanged himself. He said, oh, no, that's not for me. So he closed the book, opened it, and put his finger down the second time. Came to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Go and do thou likewise. So that's not for me either. Opened the book, put his finger down. John chapter 13. That which thou doest, do it quickly. That's not the way to study the Bible. Systematic, orderly study, as we read that David did. Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119, verse 97. I like the way that the psalmist speaks about the word. He liked the word. Verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law, O beloved. I believe we all love the Bible. Don't we love the Bible? I remember there was one brother who said, I not only love the Bible, I love the covers, because the covers keep the Bible together. Oh, how I love thy law. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. You want to be smart in school? Pay attention to the word of God. You remember what happened with Daniel and his three friends? Subject to the word of God. When final examinations came, you remember the story. They came out 1, 2, 3, and 4. And you say, oh, that was in the olden days. That happens today. I've told you the story before. Back in New York, one of our young sisters was admitted to the School of Nursing. Oh, they gave her a tough time. You don't smoke. You don't drink. You don't do this. You don't do the other. And Grace came to my wife and me and said, I'm going to quit. They bother me too much. We said, no, no, the Lord let you be admitted there. Stay there. You pray and we'll pray. And if I put it this way, she toughed it out. Graduation came. I remember it distinctly. It was on a Friday night. Friday night was the night that we usually have the family Bible hour. And I said to my wife, we've gone through so much with this child. I believe the Lord will understand if we miss the meeting and go to the graduation. Now, this did not happen 1,000 years ago. This happened recently. She's now a nurse in California. I am not telling you a story. I'm telling you what I witnessed. 14 prizes were given out at the graduation, and she won 13. I ask you, does it pay to serve the Lord? Does it pay to honor the Lord? And if we as disciples follow him, we will have success not only in temporal things, but in things divine. Those that honor me, I will honor. Come with me now to verse 127. Oh, I like this one. Well, I like all of them. It's like asking a person, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? Well, that all depends upon your situation. I like this one. Verse 27. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, above fine gold. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Do you really believe the Bible that way? That whatever the Bible says is right? Oh, I remember when Professor Mananda, head of the Department of Biology, and he was showing us the tree of evolution. And I sat in the class and said, you fool. That's not in the book. I hate every evil thing. I esteem all thy teachings concerning all things to be right. You feel that way about the Bible? Or the professor said so and so. I had one professor, Professor Harrell. He gave us a lecture 1 week on the vitamins. Of course, we didn't know as much then as you know now. And when the week was up, Friday, a student raised his hand and said, Professor Harrell, can you give us any references so that we might learn more about vitamins? Professor Harrell said, young man, I have told you all that I know, and I'm the greatest authority in the world. I'm walked out. That's some fellow, isn't it? The last word on vitamins. Then we had another lecture by Professor Harrell. And Professor Harrell took some brimstone. He said, this is brimstone, gentlemen. There weren't any ladies in the class then. This is brimstone. And here is fire. I'm going to put the brimstone in the fire, and we'll continue with our lecture. And when he finished the lecture, what did he say? Took a tongue, took out the brimstone, and he said, as you see, gentlemen, brimstone doesn't burn. What was he getting at? What does the Bible say? That hell will burn with fire and brimstone. But Professor Harrell said brimstone doesn't burn. What am I supposed to do? Go home and say, Mommy and Daddy, the Bible's wrong? 2 weeks later, another professor came and he was lecturing. I don't remember what he lectured about. I remember only one statement that he made. He said, gentlemen, you can make anything burn if you make the fire hot enough. Hell is going to be hot, isn't it? The brimstone is going to burn. If it's in this book, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. What a book we have. Don't you love it? Everything in this book is right. Now keep your finger there and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8. That's another, I keep saying the same thing, favorite verse. They're all favorites depending upon your situation. Isaiah chapter 8. Yes, yes. Verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, I am not a Hebrew scholar. I never studied Hebrew. But I'm going to give you my translation of this verse. Any man that tells you anything contrary to the word of God is absolutely, completely, and totally wrong. How do you like that translation? That's what that verse is saying. Anybody that tells you anything that's in disagreement with this word is wrong. over the book we have. Verse 162, going back to Psalm 119. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You know when you find something of great value, how happy you are? The psalmist says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I'm sure you have experienced it. You're studying and studying, and the God gives you something there. It makes you jump. You've had that experience, haven't you? That's this book. And it is as we study this book, disciples, students, pupils, these are the joys that we will realize. Well, we must go on. Now, we said that the pupil follows the teacher. Who is our teacher? When the Lord was here, he was the teacher, but he's not here. Who is our teacher? John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verses 16 and 17. The Lord says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. The word another is very important. Another of the same kind. That's what it means. You see, you have a Chevrolet car, and you have a, whatever you, what's another kind of car? A what? Buick, all right. This is a car, and that's a car. But they're not the same. But this verse says, the Lord said, I'm going to give you another of the same. He's going to be like me. Why? That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Verse 26, when the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, whom I, now notice this, he shall teach you all things. Who is our teacher? The Holy Spirit. Chapter 16, we are pupils, and we have the best teacher you can find. Chapter 16, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Holy Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. What a teacher. The Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of a man save the Spirit of man? Even so the things of God know no man except but by the Spirit of God. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. You want a better teacher? He's our teacher. Well, then why don't we learn anymore? The trouble isn't with the teacher. Maybe the trouble is with the textbook. Is that a possibility? I understand that in Washington, D.C., they are complaining because there aren't enough textbooks for the children. And some of the textbooks are so old they're of no use. This is our textbook. Because of the time, I cannot go into detail. But turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16. We all know John 3 and 16, don't we? We all should know 2 Timothy 3 and 16. Our textbook. Second Timothy 3 and 16. All scripture. All. Not some. All. Is given by inbreathing of God. You remember when God created Adam? He breathed into his nostrils. Well, that's how we got the scripture, in breathing. That's where the life is. And it's profitable. Now, please note, the scripture is profitable for doctrine. It tells you what's right. For correction, it tells you what's wrong. For instruction in righteousness, it tells you how to get right. And then it tells you that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, tells you how to stay right. That's what the Bible does. For the sake of time, I'm going to stop here. But, beloved, you cannot find a better teacher than our teacher, the Holy Spirit. He is God himself. We have all gone to school and have had teachers that, oh, some teachers were so good. I think of one teacher, we went to the class, he said, all males, gentlemen, this subject is new to you. I am going to write four statements on the blackboard. Copy those statements, don't ask me how I know, accept them. And the course will be very easy. And we accepted those four statements, and before the end of the term, we understood why the four statements were correct. He was a good teacher. Then we had another teacher. When I was in high school, I don't know if they teach it now, but we had to take solid geometry, not plain geometry, solid. And that subject was the cause of many failures. And we had one instructor there, Dr. Bishop. And Dr. Bishop conducted what he called the 100% Club. Anybody having trouble with solid geometry, come to the 100% Club. And when he finished on that final exam, the lowest mark was 85. A good teacher. Oh, but I know, and you have experienced, I've had some. I think of one fellow, he had his PhD in biology. I don't know how he got it. He never taught anything. Then there was another one there. He had trouble getting his PhD, but he could teach. And we have the Holy Spirit as our teacher. God himself with a perfect textbook. We'll go into our textbook a little bit in a few. If then we don't learn, whose fault is it? It's the fault of the pupil. But I'm glad to say in this assembly, from my observation, we have some good students. I enjoy hearing our young men get up here and expose and explain the Word of God. It's thrilling. Don't you find it that way? Or you say, but what about the sisters? Oh, there's a place for the sisters. You remember Aquila and Priscilla and Apollos? Now read it carefully, and you will find that they took Apollos into their home. And they explained to him the scriptures more fully. The two of them, the male and the female. And while our sisters do not appear on the platform in public, they do a wonderful work in private. I remember one sister, Daisy Beckles, both legs amputated above the knee. And one day she called me, a hot day in New York City. And when it's hot there, it's hot. The sun comes down with heat, and the cement and the asphalt give off heat, and you're caught between two. And there was Daisy Beckles, both legs amputated. She called me and said, I can't come to you, please come to me. It was a hot. And when I got to the house, she lived on the fourth floor, but it was walk-up, no elevator. And when I got to the door, her daughter let me in. There was Sister Beckles. Come in, brother, I have a word for you. She put on those thick glasses, opened up that large print Bible, and talked for a half hour. It was comforting, private. And oh, what a wonderful assignment, the sisters, raising the children. Oh, I think of many things that my mother told me. I was telling Brother George just recently. The kitchen was here, and the dining room was here. We had a round table with a tablecloth that went right down to the floor. It was dark in the dining room, light in the kitchen. I said, Mother, if I go into the dining room and get under that table, will God see me? I can hear her now. Arthur, wherever you go, God sees you. The ministry of women. You have a wonderful ministry. A wonderful ministry. And when Daisy Beckles finished, she talked about a half hour. She closed the book, took off her glasses and said, I'm finished, now you go ahead. There was a role for all of us as pupils to learn the Word of God under the instruction of the master teacher. God help us to do so. One little hymn in closing, please. 222. I had it here, but I can't find it now. But you know it. Now, it's only one verse, so please, let us sing it twice. There are two things on earth that will last throughout eternity. The people of God and the Word of God. Let's be good pupils. Let's apply ourselves. Let's study. Apply ourselves to the study of the Bible and apply the Bible to ourselves. Shall we pray? Again, Holy Father, it has been our privilege this day to gather together to remember the Lord as He said we should. We thank Thee for this privilege. And then to listen to thy word concerning thy servant Joseph. How can I do this great thing and sin against God? And then to listen to thy word concerning our calling as disciples. Oh, that we may learn daily from thy word. Under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. From this thy holy word that contains all that we need to know. We thank thee for salvation. And we think of our relatives and friends, many of whom are not saved. We pray for them. We rejoice again at our loved one who accepted the Lord even this past week. We give thee thanks. Save others, we pray. Dismiss us now with thy blessing as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Enjoy.